Vitamin C has evolved. Altrient Vitamin C is a cutting-edge liposomal liquid food supplement designed for maximized absorption. Discover Altrient Liposomal Vitamin C and receive 10% discount by quoting HR10 at abundanceandhealth.com.
Hi, I'm Bede Hill, and this is The D Word, the show where we talk dementia. Welcome along. Thanks for joining me for another hour of dementia chat and music. This week, my guest is Jörg Roth from My Life Films, who's going to be telling me, amongst other things, how a chance comment on an Austrian radio station led to him starting a dementia charity. Jörg is coming up right after this from Rachel Reinhardt.
A long story. Breaks and bends, full of chapters I never thought would end. I flooded gardens with wasted tears, and I watched it all disappear. I took the path of most resistance, stumbled onto self-forgiveness. But I'm still anxious by default. I'm trying to make sense of it all. If my plans had all gone perfect, my heart would have never had a groove from hurting. And if I never started searching, I'd still be somewhere out there floating on the surface. If I never saw before, I see my rise through all my faults, and I wouldn't change it at all. If my plans had all gone perfect, my heart would have never had a groove from hurting. And if I never started searching, I'd still be somewhere. I never took the long way around.
Somehow I missed that CD when it came out a year ago. Rachel Reinert from the album Into the Blue and Who Am I Right Now, kicking off this week's edition of The D Word. Well, my guest is Jörg Roth from My Life Films, a charity that started during a trip to Austria.
I would have to lie if I say it was a straightforward vision and a clear plan. It all happened quite accidentally. My wife and I were in Austria and we heard on radio there that people with dementia cannot watch television anymore. Sort of one of these really bizarre little nuggets of information you have in your head and think, oh, I mean, we didn't have any experience with dementia ourselves, but our background is filmmaking, television, entertainment, light entertainment. So TV, I always thought, is a good partner when you are in hospital or when you're ill. Not because it can kill time. My aunt is in palliative care with a different illness, and she watches the news a lot and documentaries, and it really helps her. And when we heard our television, cannot be watched anymore, I think, why is that? Because it's too fast moving. It's too complex. The storylines, the plots are just complicated, and people feel frustration when they see it and that, oh, who was that character again and isn't that? And at that time, I had just left the television industry and had some time at my hands. And I said, oh, well, let me sort of research this. We are generally curious as TV journalists and producers. And so I came across a lady called Pam Schweitzer, who is a fantastic woman who has done an awful lot on reminiscence therapy. And so I volunteered to join her for a 10-week course in Woolwich, Southeast London, to learn about dementia. And always with the idea in my head, can we actually make films about people's lives to entertain them? Because that must be something they will remember. So, it's a storyline, a plotline they can relate to and which is easy to follow. So in these 10 weeks, I was singing, dancing, holding hands with people with dementia the first time in my life, every Tuesday for 2 hours. And I came home every week and I said to my wife, Mo, that's the best thing I've done in my whole life. And it was just so satisfying to see the joy you can bring to these people. But there was this big problem that what happens in week 11? The course was for 10 weeks. And then in week 11, everybody was falling off a cliff. And because people with dementia cannot really remember all this great work they have done in the last 10 weeks, it almost gets lost instantly. It was really hard as well on the carers, the family carers, the wives and husbands who took their loved ones there. So I found one family, an Irish family, who volunteered to make a film with me. And I made these films for my parents when they turned 60, and not because they have dementia, but because I'm a filmmaker and I wanted to sort of consolidate their lives on a film for my own children and so their grandchildren, so they can see where they came from. And I remember how emotional my dad got when he saw himself in his lederhosen in the Black Forest in Germany, where he's from, in the black and white pictures outside his family's house. And yeah, it all made sense all of a sudden. And then I made this film with Paddy. It was a builder. And I thought at first, oh God, is a builder's life that interesting? Yeah. It was fantastically interesting, to follow his life through pictures, just images. We had to keep it very simple. It's just one still image after each other, in chronological order, so from birth till today. And we interviewed Paddy. I could hardly understand a word. His Irish accent was so strong. But I worked it out eventually. We interviewed his wife, his daughters. And a couple of weeks later, Tim was the editor, we went back and did a premiere. And we sort of made sure there was champagne, rolled out the red carpet, if you like. And the love in that room, you just wouldn't believe it. I always say that sort of you get hooked. Once you're in one of these premieres and you see the joy of that on this man's face and their family, how we celebrate his life in a situation where he sometimes cannot even remember what he did 5 minutes ago. It was just priceless. And at that moment, we knew that we're on a winner. And this sort of is a brilliant project. And at first, I wanted to sell these films because funding is an issue. And then we thought, no, none of these 10 people which I met in that course in Woolwich would have been able to afford this. So my wife and I, we were in the lucky position that we have a lot of sort of wealthy friends. And we just did a whip round and went out and asked people to donate to the charity, which we then set up. And so we had enough money for 1 year and employed a young filmmaker to try it out. And it was just like every single time we made a film, it was that brilliant experience. I mean, it was just like absolutely mind-blowingly beautiful. And the strength of these films is really that Paddy and his family could watch it every day. You know, so in a way, Petty has a premiere every day, or had a premiere every day, because he would forget that he watched the film, and then he would get it out again, and he would, his attention span was really bad, but he would be able to follow it for 10, 15 minutes, and then he might nod off for a moment, but it didn't matter because it was in chapters, and you could just play a certain chapter, and it just created so much conversation with him and his daughters and his wife. And it was like a useful, positive thing. So it was not like, oh God, what are you going to do with dad? You know, or his granddad, his grandchildren. That was amazing to see his grandchildren engaging all of a sudden with granddad. Here's an iPad. Oh, let's watch your film. Oh, you were great at curling. Curling it's called in Ireland, yeah. And it was just like a wonderful experience. And in a way, sort of by coincidence.
Listen to those highway lights, they're talking. Guess I feel like talking too. Look at that big old sun, he's leaving. Now I know what I gotta do. Tower keep shining like a big red eye on the edge of town. Back in high school, we used to dare each other to climb it. No one ever did, and we're still hanging around. When you're on
album from Midland out shortly called The Sonic Ranch, and from it is that Running Wild. I'm talking to Jörg from My Life Films, and one thing about researching life histories in order to turn them into a film is that you may well find out things that even people's own families didn't know about.
Absolutely, and it I mean, what do we know about our own parents? I mean, when I started doing this project, I started talking far more with my parents, and I heard stories from my dad and as well from my mom. I never heard of them before, and it was like fantastic to go down that route. And there is a lot of, I mean, that our charity is mainly about helping sort of people with dementia, but there's a great intergenerational aspect as well. So that grandchildren understand far more where their grandparents came from. Our young filmmakers, they're mainly young, sort of making films of people who've lived their lives already. And there's so much you can explore. And I don't know whether, you know, your listeners have that experience as well, but sometimes it's quite hard to sit at home and what we're going to talk about now. Just get out one of these old albums and look at these pictures and ask questions. And you just cannot just believe how much information will come out of people. And so it's not just great for people with dementia. I think it's great for everyone to reminisce more and just look at the good times and live the memories again.
Yeah, I think there's a thing in life. I think we all have. I have it about certain relations, and it comes in the form of, well, I wish I would have asked that or whatever when they were here, and I didn't. And people do a lot of research. I've done family history research, and in doing family history research, you think, I wish I would have asked that. It would have saved so much time in trolling through these websites, and I would have got the real story.
Yeah. It's a funny episode. With Pam Schweitzer, I was observing for like three sessions before I was allowed in, because everyone there had some sort of degree of training to engage with people with dementia. And the first session I was allowed to participate. I mean, it was, I think the first one was weddings, then it was cinema, and it was all like lovely, positive things. And then the session I was allowed to join, it was all about the Blitz and, you know, being German. I thought, oh, is that the best session to join? And it was so wonderful, because a lot of these people there were bombed out. My parents were bombed out in Germany. And there were so many similarities. And it was a wonderful experience. But I had to laugh at that time. I was thinking, that, oh, God, you know, what are we going to do now? But, you know, you can always find positive stories. And I think in everything. And, you know, it's all about sort of how you look back at things. And we are trying to, we're making subjective films. We're not doing any objective documentaries. So if you want to forget your first wife or your first husband, we're not going to mention that person. Yeah, so we're making a film about the life the way you want to be remembered, rather than sort of an objective look at things. And it's quite powerful.
Yeah, I think it's very powerful. I mean, one of the other areas that I've looked at, I know you're doing this for families, but, you know, a lot of people get eventually they'll end up in a care setting, and carers will come into that care setting, and they will have someone there with a real rich history, but obviously they won't know it. And certainly, you know, I think you've come across a way of making sure that those carers know about that person's rich history.
Absolutely. We make two films. The long film, which I described beforehand, is for the family only, and it's quite slow, and it's just music, the best of music therapy, the best of reminiscent therapy, images and some interviews. But it's too long for any professional care worker to look at. It's like 30 minutes. So we make another like 3 to 4 minutes package, which is like a news item. So if you'd come to care for me tomorrow, you wouldn't know much about me. You would come in and say, oh, nice weather today, mate. Yeah, and that's sort of the beginning of the conversation. But if my family would supply you with this link to this 3 or 4 minute film, which would tell you my life story in a very short period of time, you would come in and have a meaningful conversation with me straight away, because you would know 4 or 5 things about my life, which will interest you. And then you will ask, you know, speak about these things. So I would feel like, oh, he knows me. So I will feel more comfortable. And we had an NHS study into the effectiveness of our film packages, and the short film was highlighted for really improving the carer and person with dementia relationship, because it's more person-centered care. It's possible, because normally you'd get information on an A4 sheet of paper, and you know, you're busy, you have to read something, it's going to be so hard, it's not really emotionally stimulating. But when you watch a short film, you can almost do this while you eat your sandwich or you drink something, you have your break. It's entertaining. We'll make this entertaining as well for the care worker. So you really buy into that person's character. You know their nickname. So you can really approach that person in a meaningful way, and that will improve the quality of care. Mm-hmm.
guess I grew up, but I swear she never grew old. Sometimes I put on a favorite sweater when I'm all alone and the world feels cold. She'd say
Andy Clark's Your Life is a Record CD has been reissued with a couple of extra tracks, and that's one of them, Remember Me Beautiful. I think it's an appropriate track to play, bearing in mind my conversation with Jörg from My Life Films. The films they produce can prove another vital piece of the jigsaw for carers, teaching them a lot about the people they care for and stimulating interest and conversations.
Absolutely, yeah. The care home, which we did the NHS study in Kew Gardens or in Kew, the care workers there, they were saying, oh, I did not know that that person was a famous architect or a painter or photographer. And when I saw their artwork or their photography in the short film, it just opened my eyes, and I was able to then take some books into their room and look at them, at photographs with them. And it was just like a completely different level of conversation. And the NHS study found out that it really improved the quality of life for people, and it reduced the neuropsychiatric symptoms. Sorry, I'm not an academic. I find it always a bit hard. So the depression, anxiety, partly some people weren't eating properly. And the team there showed the short film or chapters from the long film as an almost like as an sort of distraction technique to bring them into a happy space. So when they were irritated, when they felt bad and they were felt lost, you'd show them maybe the chapter of their childhood, and they say, oh, there's my mom, there's my dad, I'm at home, I know where I am. And people started eating. Some people had they were able to take less risperidone, so less antidepressants, because the team was able to bring them back into a happy space. I always call it the happy space, sort of, you know, much easier. So they didn't need any chemical intervention or any, they wouldn't need three or four people maybe to calm somebody down. And it's all about sort of knowing that person and knowing how you can bring them back into a happy space. And the films help with that, because they give them a tool to show them. And at the same time, they give you that understanding of that person.
Yeah, and I guess it's important also, you know, you've kind of alluded to research that's been done, obviously, for your charity. And, you know, I think we're in a drug-obsessed community, really, in terms of things like dementia. And there are so many things that are not pharmacological that actually are proved to work. But you need that research, and you need the academic research behind it, I guess, to prove that that's the case.
Yes, yes. And I was surprised. I mean, I'm a TV producer, and I came into this not understanding any NHS and not understanding healthcare, really. And then that was pointed out to me all the time, sort of get some independent analysis of what you're doing. And yes, we did all our impact assessments from the beginning onwards. We have all our anecdotal case studies. But when the NHS came on board, Dr. Lawrence from St. George's and Southwest London and St. George's Mental Health Trust, that really changed things. I noticed that with grant funders, when we were able to send them, here's the study, this is happening. And then it was published, and that was even better, because it showed black and white from an independent source that what we're doing is not just like a fancy entertainment tool, but actually it helps the people living with dementia. And so they're now going into a bigger study. And I think at the moment they're applying for funding to make this kind of initial pilot study obviously much bigger and bring in far more people to build up on it. We had another trial with Hampshire County Council, where they were looking at other different ways of reaching people with dementia. And that was maybe not as academic, but the results from that was literally, in an ideal world, everyone living with dementia should have one of our film packages.
Yeah, which is, you know, I think it's great with that. I mean, with the, you know, those are the film packages. I'm kind of really, really interested in this kind of TV aspect as well. That, you know, people always told me, and people I know say, and exactly what you said earlier in the conversation, you know, I get 10 minutes into the plot. And let's face it, I mean, some of the television we have now is so complicated, even I'm losing the plot here, thinking, well, who's that guy and what did that, you know, who is she? So the whole concept really quite excites me about, you know, the type of television you're talking about.
Yes, there's a second product we launched just before Christmas, which is called My Life TV, which is basically Netflix for people living with dementia. And it was born out of sort of, well, it's a product of COVID, really. We have our project manager at the charity, Charlotte George, used to be an executive producer at ITV. So she's got a really fantastically sound TV background as well. And almost 18 months ago, she told me, oh, why don't we do this Netflix for dementia platform? And at the time, I was really skeptical, because I thought, it sounds like a great idea, but we cannot deliver this technically. You know, we don't have the skill and the money to build a platform. And then COVID happened, and we were sat there together and with the whole team, because we cannot go into families anymore or hardly to make films, because it's too dangerous. We make this remotely now with Skype and Zoom and all this, but it's not the same. So we're thinking, what alternatives can we offer? Or are we going to just mothball our operation until COVID is over? And no, we said, no, we're going to use the crisis to change. We have a lot of startup thinking. And then that idea was brought back to the table. Are we going to do Netflix for people living with dementia? And then we realized that Vimeo, which is a YouTube type platform, offers an off the shelf solution, which is really like a plug and play solution and not very expensive. So being sort of being ourselves, we just said, okay, let's try this. My background is in TV, so I have a lot of contacts to producers, and we just reached out to people and said, would you be willing to give us some material for free just to trial it out? We did a three-week trial where we put this platform together of slow TV. Television is just really sort of bespoke for the cognitive needs of people with dementia. So it could be slow TV, just looking at a gardener pruning the roses. It could be just beautiful nature. But we wanted as well to try more interactive stuff. So we created quizzes with Getty. Getty Images was very generous in giving us access to their platform, where you would just show famous politicians. You see just the image for 10 seconds and then the name. So you can guess who's that. Not guess, you will just give the person with dementia time to remember who that person is. And they would probably see a familiarity and they would maybe instantly know who it is, but they might not find the name. And then there's the name. So it's a really nice way of, again, the carer, the family carer, the care worker, spending some quality time together with the person with dementia.
Well, I heard an old man say, youth's lost on the young. If I'd have known what I know today, I would have lived my life like a smoking gun. But I saved it up for a rainy day, and I'm still waiting for that day to come. You only know that you had it when it's gone. But it's something I can't say, though it's there on the tip of my tongue. Something I can't change, for you can't stop the setting sun. And I wanna scream it at the top of my lungs. It's something I can't say, though it's on the tip of my tongue. Young man say, the truth's lost on the old. All I have is how I feel today, no matter what I'm taught and what I'm told. So I save it up for a rainy day, even though that day may never come. And I won't know that I had it till it's gone, no. But it's something I can't say, it's something I can't change, no. For you can't stop a rising sun. And I wanna scream it at the top of my lungs. It's something I can't say, though it's on the tip of my tongue.
Passenger and Tip of My Tongue here on UK Health Radio. You may have noticed it's now easier than ever to listen to our shows, as you can now download them from the website at ukhealthradio.com and listen at your leisure. This week's guest here on The D Word is Jörg from My Life Films, a really innovative charity whose concept of TV designed specifically for people living with dementia has already proved a big hit.
So we did this trial 3 weeks and did an impact assessment, and it was just like, woof, And we got sent a video, which I would love to be able to share with you, of a lady who is well, it's sometimes very difficult to deal with because she gets very upset because she doesn't know where she is and she gets frustrated, like a typical symptoms of somebody with dementia. And she loves the laughter tracks. We have just laughter tracks, people laughing. I mean, you just watch that. We should all laugh for 5 minutes every day. Just look at that for 5 minutes and you're probably going to add a year to your life expectancy. And that woman just absolutely has belly aches looking at that. And they can do that with her every single day. And she loves it every single day. And when they sent us that video, I knew this is going to work. And so that's when we said, like, you would normally probably need 6 to 9 or 12 months to properly set this up and plan it. We said, no, forget that. We did a trial in October. The task was get it out there before Christmas. And we did it. We did it. We put it out there before Christmas. We have roughly 100 people now signed up in the first sort of 4 to 6 weeks. We are now engaged a digital agency to help us to really bring it out to people because people don't know that it's there. That's why it's so great that we can talk to you about this. And the feedback is amazing. The feedback is really amazing because it gives people some respite. It's for the person with dementia. They have something they can enjoy, which is easy to consume, which will remember them of passions or hobbies they used to have. So it's not really remembering their own lives anymore, but it's what you used to like. We do some chair yoga. We have a musical pub quiz, so sing-alongs. So we're adding stuff which we are producing ourselves every week at the moment. And the beauty of a digital platform is it can just hold hundreds and hundreds of hours, and we can then take out all these things which don't work because we have no recipe right now where we say, oh, this is going to work, this is not going to work, because it's the same, like you and I would probably watch different things because we have different interests. And it's a really exciting time. And I believe that this is going to be, our aim would be that everyone with dementia can have access to that, because it will probably give you some joy every hour, especially when you're so isolated right now, during COVID in your room, and you might not get that entertainer coming into your care home to make some music or to, you know, do some magic tricks with you. It will just give you some sort of entertainment while you're alone and isolated.
Yeah, and I think it really resonates with me because my history, you know, managing groups for people living with dementia in the community, was it was all very well. We had people for a day, but, you know, when was the other 6 days of the week? And I think, you know, what you're describing there is a lot of the things we did in terms of when we were in the activity group. So actually having something to fall back on, which would reinforce all those things, you know, the other times when you can't be at the group. And as you say, obviously now when we're all, you know, locked in with COVID, I think he's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. There was one lady called Anne from Sussex. She was one of our first customers, and she went on radio to speak about her experience. It was with the BBC Sussex, and she was saying there that her mom watched the royal coronation twice in a row, and which is, you know, like I think she was almost busy for 3 hours with that one. But the interesting bit was when she started watching it the second time, she said to her daughter, Anne, can you believe it? I haven't seen this for decades, you know, after she just literally finished it. And Anne said, like, the great thing for her as the daughter looking after her mom is that she can cook, she can do certain things in the house without having to worry too much about mom, because mom actually is engaged. You know, she's happy. Yes, we all would prefer it to be different engagement, but why not, you know, find some couple of hours where you give that person something which they feel comfortable with, even though it might be slightly passive, but the interactive elements kind of make up for that as well. So
yeah, it's you know, I guess the other thing is, I mean, you know, maybe if we would have been having this conversation even 5 years ago, technically would have been difficult in terms of care settings. I wouldn't have had access to so much technology. And I guess the one thing COVID's done as well is put that into fast forward, because it really has increased the level of technology in care settings.
That helps us a lot. My live TV can be watched on iPads, on all kind of tablets, on a laptop. It can be watched on the big screen if the big screen in the room is internet compatible. And that's true. You know, there's so many tablets now in care homes, and people as well kind of you can use them. I can see with my own parents who are in their mid 80s. I got them a tablet last year before COVID, and it was a godsend because we know all the video calls in the meantime. And at first I thought, oh God, will they be able to understand the technology? But it's so intuitive that they actually got to enjoy it. It's light, it sits on their lap, they can watch it, they can speak to their grandchildren. And I think it's similar in some care homes where we get the feedback. We're not only looking at the content, feedback on the content in our platform, but as well obviously how you can use it, because that is always important. The user journey has to be really good and satisfactory for the person living with dementia. So it needs to feel like, yes, it's accessible, it's easy to consume. And yes, the care homes, the technology now, which they have, implemented, really helps us with this product.
And I think, you're a great example of, in terms of dementia, and I'm a great believer in that you have to have a sideways look and you have to bring in people from all parts of community to look at something in order to try and, improve things. And I think, you've come from a television entertainment background. I came from a public health background. I know people that have come from other backgrounds. And I think it's so important that people all join together in terms of why call, maybe facilely dementia world, because everybody's got something to something really to give.
I mean, I've been in the world of dementia now for 6 years, 7 years, and quite often I was astounded by, there's so much positive energy and goodwill in there and so much, ingenuity. But a lot of the times people were thinking about the outputs and what they can measure and completely forgot about the user journey. So I came across one product at one stage where people told me, oh, we got the second round of funding. I was so impressed. And I did ask them, so how often do people use it? Not that often, but we can have 20 different outputs. Yeah. But if you don't use it, it's not good. And sort of My Life Films and My Life TV is all about the person with dementia and their user experience. Because if they don't want to use it, if they don't want to watch it, it's pointless. Yeah. But if they use it and watch it, we can start adding outputs. We can start tweaking it to make sure you can measure certain things so that it's not only entertainment, but it actually kind of improves the quality of life in a meaningful way and in an independently measurable way.
Yeah, it is all about improving quality of life. I think you're doing that. I think it's a brilliant project. And thanks so much for coming on the show and telling us all about it. I wish you every success because I think it will undoubtedly be a big success.
Lovely. So if people want to sign up to My Life TV, just Google My Life TV and dementia, and it should be there. And let us know what you think. It's free for the first month. And then we are charging a small fee. It's not for profit. It's just for us to be able to maintain and sustain the platform. And ideally, that's our target. It's a board decision on there as well. We want to make this free for everyone at one stage. We just need to find the right sort of sponsor or funding model for it.
That would be something. So fingers crossed, we can achieve that in the future. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
His name didn't make her feel again that everything is possible and every day a brand new start. Yeah, love's something powerful when it finds a willing heart. She never left. day's like the last. He just misses what he can't forget. It's just an empty space where something used to be. Now he guards the gate, but he's lost the key. So no one enters, but no one leaves. There's a keeper for every place. Was just a little bruised. I thought love had spoken. I guess I was just confused. Sometimes we were a fire burning out of control. Sometimes we were nothing but a candle glow. But never died, babe. How I know there's a keeper for every place.
Shapin Carpenter and Keeper for Every Flame, bringing this week's D Word to a close. My thanks to Jörg for introducing me to the excellent work that My Life Films are doing. If you want to find out more, there's loads of great information on their website at mylifefilms.org. That's it for this week. Next week, I'll be chatting to Chris Smith about his work with Wellspring Senior Care, looking, amongst other things, at dementia-friendly facilities. So until then, thanks for listening and take care now.